Fullerton Investment Views Quarterly Report Q4 2025. Goldilocks and the Risk Appetite Bear. Executive Summary. Consolidating gains ahead of normalization in 2026. 2025 is the third year running where the USS and P500 equity returns have been strong double digits, and MSCI developed market DM equities increased 20% last year and are tracking similar returns this year, while MSCI Asia ex Japan is up 34% year to date. As a result, global investors need to be cautious given weak risk appetite and valuations across equities and fixed income that have become increasingly stretched. In 2026, active risk management will become increasingly important for investors to defend their gains. Fullerton remains vigilant on when to downgrade our year-ahead investment outlook from bullish to positive. Key signposts will be the intelligence gathered from Fullerton's bottom-up assessments, including any significant changes in market access, leverage, and forward guidance, especially as the use of circular finance across the US AI technology sector has increased. Geographical diversification remains a critical strategy. While our investment environment signal has surged away from Goldilocks to late cycle, it can still be an environment where returns are positive because global growth remains at its strongest above trend for this cycle and liquidity is supportive. Geographical sector-driven diversification remains a critical strategy, and as we have emphasized for a while, global exceptionalism means winning companies can be found across many sectors and countries. Fixed income can offer some diversification protection if equities slump because of bubbly performance, poor risk appetite, or geopolitical shocks. However, investors still need to be selective, especially across corporate credit exposures, as some spreads are very rich. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is bullish on global risk assets driven by Asia, i.e. China, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and developed market, i.e. US, Germany, and Japan, equities, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 1. Investment Environment and Risk Asset Outlook. Goldilocks and the One Bear, poor risk appetite, dictates active management. Even before the sharp and short-lived slump in US-China relations, Fullerton's proprietary risk appetite factor has been poor, suggesting investors should be cautious, especially as valuations across global equities, namely high PE, and fixed income, that is low spreads, have become increasingly stretched. Global growth and liquidity are above trend. Inflation is rising, but below trend. Poor risk appetite is the key worry. Notwithstanding bearish risk appetite, which has been a key driver of our investment environment signal jumping away from Goldilocks to late cycle, it can still be an environment where returns are positive, as the bar chart return distributions are positively centered for equities and bonds. This is because other key factors remain in Goldilocks territory, as global growth, led by the US, remains its strongest above trend for this cycle, and liquidity is supportive. In addition, investing in this realpolitik world benefits from significant policy stimulus, with fiscal packages at around 10% of GDP across Germany, China, and the US. Fullerton has always emphasized that global growth can remain strong because of robust productivity, rising investment, and large gains in wealth and incomes supporting spending. Inflation is elevated as tariff impacts bite, but it should not become a significant nor sustained threat to markets. We maintain our view that global trade restrictions are not expected to derail risk asset returns because of ongoing competitiveness gains and sustained demand for high-value added products. Growth in global trade volume remains strong, supported by the steady improvement in industrial production, and global trade shares are being defended. In fact, the global trade shares for Europe and China have increased, while the US has slipped. We believe producers and consumers are well advanced in adapting their behaviours to this re-globalisation of trade flows. Nominal GDP growth, which tends to have a solid correlation with corporate earnings performance, is tracking at least 3-5% per annum for most countries. A mix of favourable and adverse factors have been impacting risk appetite. US-China relations are always likely to remain strained, but investors do appear to be adapting to the greater incidence of geopolitical shocks. Then, into the end of October, gold prices fell sharply, perhaps reflecting overbuying coupled with some easing of geopolitical fears and a lack of further significant US dollar weakness. Some abatement in geopolitical fears may have reflected some of the following. Investors are becoming more relaxed about US-China trade tensions, as President Trump downplayed the risk of clashing with President Xi Jinping over Taiwan. After the first day of talks at the Association of Southeast Asian Nations meetings in Kuala Lumpur, 25th October, media reports declared that the US and China had very constructive discussions in the build-up to the key meeting on the 30th of October to further discuss tariffs and rare earth policies. Consistent with US protectionism largely being a negotiation tool, media reports that India and the US are likely to reach a trade agreement that would reduce US tariffs on India's US exports to around 15% from the current 50%. The confirmation of Sanae Takaichi as Japan's prime minister boosted investor sentiment that her policies may continue to drive productivity gains, competitiveness, and stronger earnings performance. That said, other geopolitical risk factors remain unresolved and may weigh negatively on risk appetite. The planned summit between US President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin has been postponed, along with any potential ceasefire in the Russia-Ukraine war for now. Investors have become more concerned about pockets of risk building across the US financial sector, as capital inflows continue to surge into areas such as AI and credit. The latest scare unfolded on the 16th of October when US regional bank Zions Bank Corporation lost $1 billion of its listed value after disclosing $60 million of bad loans. This sparked broader fears surrounding the quality of lending by US regional banks over this cycle, broadly similar to the systemic fears surrounding the failure of Silicon Valley Bank more than 2 years ago. In addition, the ECB's chief economist warned that some EMU banks could face spillover stresses from any adverse pressures on US regional banks, especially European banks with significant USD-denominated liquid assets and off-balance sheet exposures. The US government shutdown is now 23 days long, as at 24th October, and has limited signs of any progress towards a resolution. That said, encouragingly as we anticipated, it does not seem to be having any significant drag on risk appetite so far. Active management remains critical to defend gains. Active risk management will remain critical for investors to defend their gains going forward, especially as valuations across both global equities and fixed income have become stretched. Fullerton remains vigilant on when to downgrade our year-ahead investment outlook from bullish to positive. Key signposts will be the intelligence gathered from Fullerton's bottom-up assessments, including any significant changes in market access, leverage, and forward guidance, especially as the use of circular finance across the US AI technology sector has increased. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is bullish on global risk assets driven by Asia and developed market DM equities, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 2. Equities. Our bullish outlook for developed market DM equity returns reflects global exceptionalism across the US, Germany, and Japan. We believe DM equities can continue to benefit from robust earnings growth as forward expectations continue to grind higher, with positive contributions from the US, Japan, and Europe, especially Germany. Bullish returns across Europe are being driven by Germany's industrials, financials, and utilities, all part of the positive sentiment on Germany's very large infrastructure stimulus and productivity rebuild. Japan's market can also remain a robust source of alpha for investors, as the corporate sector continues to defend competitiveness with productivity gains. The US maintains one of the strongest productivity performances in the world, and its real unit production costs are falling, which has pushed corporate profits to record highs. Alpha is back for investors in the US from IT and remains robust across industrials and communications. Such resilient fundamentals, combined with easy liquidity conditions, may defend the re-rating of US equity returns. But Goldilocks factors also increase bubble risks. Investors need to be cautious because the gap between listed S&P 500, expected year-ahead earnings performance, and realized economy-wide corporate profit is increasing. And a common cause of painful corrections is that greed pushes equity prices too far and realized profit disappoints. Equity valuations are already very high across the US, and most key markets are at least one standard deviation rich. And such headwinds can depress risk appetite and increase the risk of an eventual sharp sell-off. Asia ex Japan equities are outperforming DM, with very strong contributions from most markets. Asia ex Japan returns are very strong this year, tracking 34%, and the region should continue to benefit from global demand, higher export prices, and rising competitiveness. South Korea's equities have surged from the very poor performance last year, as its corporates benefit from the same positive re-rating drivers across Asia, namely competitiveness gains and rising external demand. Returns from Taiwan have rebounded strongly since the April low, and its earnings growth expectations continue to lead the region as it benefits from robust global demand for IT and capital goods. We first suggested in quarter 4 2024 that China's stimulus could unfold as the whatever it takes moment for investors because the supports are so large and they target key areas of deflation to help boost corporate profitability. Now, 12 months on, China's policymakers continue to gain traction with the reform-driven fight against diminishing returns from investment and resources. On 24 October, China's government outlined its broad plans for economic development out to 2030. Key priorities remain to enhance technology utilization, education services, R&D, and productivity over time, especially across manufacturing. As China continues to reduce its excess capacity, it will strive for breakthroughs in key technologies and make more efforts to boost domestic consumption. The latter requires keeping economic growth solid, which will support household incomes, and fits with our positive outlook on China's macro fundamentals. China has already cut its US trade dependence to extreme lows and has defended its global trade share at the same time. China is benefiting from its rising export prices, exchange rate competitiveness, and its significant global market share, especially across products like rail, maritime, new energy, IT, medical, and robotics. Investment opportunities across China, New China Champions, are a flagship within our key global investment themes. All of Asia will continue to deepen its economic linkages beyond the US, with supports from the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP. Fullerton expects equity returns to remain strong across Taiwan, South Korea, and Singapore, as Asia benefits from China's stimulus spillovers, rising export prices and competitiveness, strong demand from DM, and increasing intra-Asia trade, especially for higher value-added goods and services. We are excited about Singapore's equity development program and our fund. We remain bullish on Singapore equities as we believe that Singapore's macro environment can trigger sustainably stronger earnings performance across much of the listed market capital structure. Earnings growth should continue to improve because of very low cost pressures reflecting Singapore's productivity gains and low inflation, and with higher revenues over time from the global demand industrial boom for high value added outputs. The STI equity market is already pricing in a significant re-rating as it adjusts to this potentially higher profitability paradigm. Geographical diversification remains a key strategy because winning sectors are everywhere. Seeking exceptional companies at a fair price is a global exercise as equity returns across Europe and Asia, often judged laggards, are much stronger, while returns are rising significantly for the US. Firms rising to the top of their peer group will be driven by productivity-enhanced earnings, rising investment, and sustained demand. These creative leaders will be found across many different sectors and countries. That is why it is vital for investors to harmonize their top-down strategy with active management and stock selection. A key takeaway is that many sources of excess returns have aligned very well with many of Fullerton's sector investment themes. For example, alpha from China's equity market is broad-based, namely more than half the market. And consumerism and communications have been increasingly important sources of returns, as online retail sales growth is strong and margins are high. Healthcare has benefited a lot from China's domestic policy stimulus, IT-driven technology gains, and competitive pricing. China is also benefiting from its significant export competitiveness and strong global market power across sectors like materials and IT. Section 3, fixed income. Sustainably higher yields can be positive for investors longer term. Our core investment theme remains the Great Reset, where this realpolitik world results in the discount factor for all risk asset returns, the bond yield, repricing across key markets to settle at levels not seen since before the GFC in 2008 and 2009. Such yields are higher than many investors are accustomed to, but they can be rewarding and may be a fairer reflection of the risks associated with leverage and geopolitical uncertainties. With China's significant monetary and fiscal stimulus unfolding, it may have established a defendable floor for its 10-year yield. But any increases in yield over time may be gradual, as policymakers do not want any headwinds for credit demand as they seek to boost consumption and investment. Singapore is proving that it can avoid its 10-year yield rising beyond its post-2010 historic average of 2.2% per annum because of its very strong fiscal position and high national savings rate. While active management is critical to try and harvest trading gains, this cycle has proven active management to be very important to secure trading gains, especially across markets in Asia where key yields have fallen and in the US. On the latter, Scott Bessent, US Treasury Secretary, has declared it a victory for President Trump's policies, as since 28 January 2025, the US 10-year bond yield has fallen by almost 50 basis points to 4% per annum, while equities are up 12% year-to-date. Returns in 2025 are running high single digits across Asia, local currency, corporate credit, Asia, USD credits, and US treasuries. Singapore's fixed income returns have been especially strong, benefiting from plentiful liquidity and capital inflows that have bid up returns and have also driven Singapore's equity returns higher. We remain positive on global sovereign bonds and IG corporate credit. Our positive view for returns from global sovereign bonds reflects current trends continuing, along with the likelihood that yields settle at levels generating a favorable income stream, as well as offering some protection if equities fall sharply. The weak US dollar can also be supportive for investors in local currency fixed income. In 2025, US liquidity has been the highest across DM, and this excess supply of dollars has depreciated its value. a weak US dollar can allow global central banks, especially across Asia, where inflation is low, to run easier policy than otherwise, and to offset any excessive local currency appreciation forces, which can reduce interest rates vis-à-vis increased bond prices and boost growth. We maintain our positive outlook for corporate credit across Asia, as default rates can remain modest with global growth holding around trend, coupled with robust profitability and liquidity. US inflation is higher this year as tariff impacts bite, but not to levels that become a sustained threat to markets. Strong US productivity growth, coupled with investment in AI and technologies, continues to push down real unit production costs, which gives significant cushion against any renewed inflation pressures. We continue to believe that tariff impacts will not boost US inflation to the extent that it will stress markets or the Fed, which has maintained its view that rate cuts can gradually unfold. What remains most encouraging is that the Fed's nowcast of US PCE inflation is slipping, and US forward market inflation expectations for 2026 and beyond are all clustering around 2.5% per annum or less. The Fed has resumed its rate cuts but remains very pessimistic on US growth prospects. In September, as expected, the Fed cut its policy rate by 25 basis points to 4.25%, and with more cuts to come, potentially to a 3.6% policy rate by end December 2025, as signalled by the Fed. What is good is that the September rate cut was into strength as the Fed revised its growth outlook up, its unemployment view down, and inflation up. On 29th October, again as expected, the Fed cut its policy rate by 25 basis points to 4% per annum, but stressed at the press conference that a 10th December 2025 rate cut is still not guaranteed. With such bullish revisions to the Fed's outlook in September, the obvious question is, why cut rates? Because as we have argued for a while, the Fed still has policy tight with the policy rate being above the Fed's assumed long-term 3% policy rate. Where the Fed remains very pessimistic is that even with its upward revisions, it does not foresee US growth ever achieving 2% per annum. This seems increasingly at odds with how the Fed's growth nowcast is tracking at 3.9% per annum. Any further US dollar depreciation may be modest and slow. Since the US dollar DXY index reached its peak late last year, US liquidity has been the highest across DM, and this excess supply of dollars has seen the value of the greenback slide. The USD DXY has been stable at 10% down, year to date, for around 6 months now. And the key fundamental drivers of the US dollar, the yield differential and the terms of trade slash oil prices, suggest the US dollar may be around its fair value. However, with Fed rate cuts likely to continue in 2026, there could be more US dollar downside from liquidity growth and from the US yield differential. This is not priced in yet. Gold prices do not seem excessive and have proved a good hedge for geopolitical shocks. Continuing its trend of strong returns from last year, gold has proved a very useful hedge in a balanced portfolio against geopolitical fears, recession risks, and de-dollarization forces. Despite being very high in real terms, gold prices do not seem excessive, as they have tracked the weaker US dollar very well. While President Trump's Big Beautiful Bill, 4th July 2025, is a significant net stimulus, the US fiscal deficit can still fall over time if improved corporate profitability increases fiscal revenue sufficiently. This prospect may be one reason the US Treasury risk premium is holding below 1% points, and the US dollar has not depreciated any further towards it, as global investors appreciate that high government debt is not a problem for the US alone. Disclaimer: no offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 20031267 2W, Fullerton, or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. The information contained herein has been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but has not been independently verified, although Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited. UEN 20031267 2W, Fullerton, believes it to be fair and not misleading. Such information is solely indicative and may be subject to modification from time to time. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of this publication. Neither MSCI nor any other party involved in or related to compiling, computing, or creating the MSCI data makes any express or implied warranties or representations with respect to such data, or the results to be obtained by the use thereof. And all such parties hereby expressly disclaim all warranties of originality, accuracy, completeness, merchantability, or fitness for a particular purpose with respect to any of such data. Without limiting any of the foregoing, in no event shall MSCI, any of its affiliates, or any third party involved in or related to compiling, computing, or creating the data have any liability for any direct, indirect, special, punitive, consequential, or any other damages, including lost profits, even if notified of the possibility of such damages. No further distribution or dissemination of the MSCI data is permitted without MSCI's express written consent.